Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Megan Schull. Schull is an award-winning author of many books for kids, including The Swap, which has been made into a Disney Channel original movie, and the young adult novel Amazing Grace. Her newest novel is entitled Bounce. It's a funny and imaginative story about a 12-year-old girl who has the strangest and most magical Christmas that literally changes her perspective about her life and her family. Bounce was published in September by HarperCollins Children's Books. Megan Schull is a graduate of Cornell University, where she holds a doctorate in educational psychology. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. That is quite a... I need to walk around with you at all times.
Now, you said in a recent article that after earning your doctorate, you set out to write books to help young readers find the strong and better parts of themselves. So talk to us about that.
Right. Well, first of all, it's so nice to be here with you.
Well, thank you.
And yeah, when I finished my doctorate, I knew, when I went into writing, I knew I had a message. I think a lot of authors might say, or I don't know, a lot, but some authors might be purists and against any sort of moral messaging. I'm quite the opposite. I'm really in it to help kids feel better and feel safer and stronger and less alone in the world. So that's my jam. That's what I set out to do. And hopefully...
Well, you also said that you deeply believe in the healing power of fiction for tweens. Is this because of something based on your childhood, or have you met kids who actually needed this kind of guidance, or some kind of help with their emotions?
Well, books for sure help me, but I think that deep belief is more out of the evidence of the letters I get from kids.
Ah.
And they're just, it really seems to be a portal into helping. It's like we don't all get the best families or the best parents or caregivers, and everyone has a different battle and situation. And I just think it's so awesome that you can curl up with a book, and a book can soothe you and encourage you and embolden you or offer you a hopeful perspective that you've never had before.
Yeah, yeah. And then this book, Bounce, which we're going to talk about right now, it's fabulous. I absolutely enjoyed it. I haven't read any young adult fiction for a long time, or kids fiction. So tell us about the main character, 12-year-old seventh grader named Franny. Tell us about her. Where'd she come from?
Okay, well, Franny Hudson is having a really bad day when you meet her. And let's see, how do I do this without spoiling it for your listeners? But she's having a really bad day. It happens to be a couple days before Christmas. She finds out her parents are going on a holiday without her or her older siblings, and they leave her in the care of her older siblings. And things kind of go from bad to worse at that point. And she ends up on Christmas Eve wishing for a new family. And through all sorts of mystical magic, she wakes up not just with a new family, but in a new body, in a whole new life. And that keeps happening over and over again, the bounces, until she gets what she needs, that love and care and connection that's missing from her own life. She finds it in the bounces. And then finally, and I don't think this is a spoiler because, well, I'm just going to tell y'all. Sorry. But finally, when she's back in her own body, her family hasn't changed, but she's changed. Her window of tolerance has widened, and she's able to navigate what is kind of a difficult emotional life.
You know what I liked about it, Megan? The fact that she was so fearful and needy when it first started out. And so she goes through all these bounces and different experiences, and she comes out much stronger and more assertive.
Right.
It's an amazing transformation.
I love that, too. It's really, I got to say, even I wrote it, and it's kind of a soothing read, even when I read it back. It's like, the people she meets along the way are just the kind of people that I think we all are sort of hoping to meet, people who see us and they see her, they soothe her, they sort of help her learn to emotionally regulate. And that's sort of a fancy term for being able to calm and soothe yourself. And most kids can do that when they have adults around them or caregivers around them that help them learn how to do that. And so if you have caregivers or parents that see you, soothe you, sort of help you manage what are really normal, painful emotions for just being human, if you have that, you have a real advantage in life because you're able to do that for yourself eventually. And so, for example, a parent that doesn't say, stop whining, stop needing. When really a kid is, quote, whining, and I don't really like that term, it's a signal that they're missing something, they're needing something. And so instead of telling a kid to stop, it's more helpful in an emotional way to help them figure out what they need and figure out a way they can get that for themselves in a healthy way.
Yeah,
and so that's what the bounces do for her.
Yeah, and it's amazing. She figures it out herself in many ways. She finds this inner strength. And I must say that the book isn't just happy and glittery and all these experiences are just perfect. She comes upon sadness that she'd never experienced before and, you know, loss.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to me.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, that's on a poignant note. No, on a funny, poignant note, when my friends, this book just came out, and when, as an author, at least for myself, those first few weeks, I'm dying to know what all my best friends think. And, you know, I'm kind
sure.
of texting them, like, what bounce are you on? Like, how far are you in the book? And it's a lot of pressure. But when they text me back that they're crying, it's funny because I'm always kind of like, yes. And I guess when you write and people can, even your own friends, forget that it's you and get into the story and feel sort of the feelings in the story, that just means the world to me. And so this book for sure has a lot of what I'd say, like the good feels and all the feels. And sometimes it's just such a magic bullet. I have to tell you, too,
that you're a good writer.
Thank you.
People who write for young adults get into more simplistic language. They don't really need to, but it's almost patronizing. You don't.
Oh, thank you.
So I absolutely love this. Now, tell us where this idea came from. I mean, there's been a lot of books about transformation for kids, like Wizard of Oz and Into New Worlds. So did this come from a compilation of all the things in childhood that you read?
Well, actually, strangely enough, it came from a large format photo exhibit I saw called Where Children Sleep by this photographer named James Mollison.
Mm.
And it's a really stunning, I'd encourage your listeners to Google that, Where Children Sleep, and see the photos. They're really striking. And I think it was UNICEF that asked this photographer, he's quite renowned, to take photos that would highlight the plight of childhood poverty around the world.
Wow.
Instead of including just photos of children who are impoverished, he did something really interesting, which is he thought if he had kids from all circumstances, the juxtaposition of those poverty and privilege side-by-side portraits would evoke more empathy in people looking at the photos. And certainly that's what it did for me. When I saw these pictures, I was like, wow, so moved. They're really, really moving. One, you know, you might see a kid in Brazil on a mattress in like a dump, you know, living with his family, and another child on the Upper East Side and in like a suit and tie and an elephant stuffed animal on his perfectly made bed. And then I took that a step further. So first I thought it was so cool that it was children's bedrooms all around the world, because bedrooms for kids are really a sacred space. You know, it's if you're lucky enough to have one or share one, it's like your world and your domain. And it's like the one place that you sort of rule the roost. So I love that. But then I also thought it was so cool that, well, I also had the image of a kid dropping onto a bed. And that's where I first thought of the word bounce.
Ah, that's where that came from, the transformation and the two different kinds of
sort
lives.
Of like bouncing into the life. And it wasn't, I mean, this is an aside, but it wasn't until much later that I realized I had written a whole book about learning how to bounce back and resiliency. So that was kind of a rad it was like Reese's Pieces. I invented. I was like, whoa, I didn't mean to do it, but it was a good coincidence.
Oh, that's really interesting that it came from there, from a photo exhibit.
Yeah, it was cool. So then the last little bit about that is that I looked at the photos and I thought, well, this is so cool. It sort of sparked something inside me, but something unexpected, which is, well, you see these photos, what you can't see, what's invisible, is like our family of origin and in regard to like who the people are, who the caretakers are. And you can think somebody has it all and they really have like nothing in terms of like emotionally responsive caregivers, and they might really be starving for love and attention and care and have their basic needs met. But is that really great if your basic needs are met, but you're emotionally deprived? And then on the contrary, you can see a kid who has, quote, nothing in regard to like impoverished. They might, you know, and that certainly brings a lot of problems in itself in terms of like nutrition and safety and lots of real problems that have have an effect on your life. But that same kid can have, like, the most wonderful parent in the world.
Well, we see that in, you know, in our culture all the time. You hear about movie stars' kids that were brought up totally isolated, no love, no parent around, but they have, you know, they get to eat lobster for dinner.
And, right.
You know, but what they really need is some kind of attention and love from another human being.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting how we always, at least a lot of times, it's easy to think because a kid doesn't have things or stuff or food that they might have a bad parent. And I just think that's often not true. You know,
and you prove that in the book. One of the stories.
I hope so.
Take
them
to those places. Now this book takes place right around Christmas. You didn't need it to take a place around Christmas. It doesn't seem to me. In some ways, some people might think this is a Christmas book, but it really isn't.
Right.
Why did you choose Christmas? I was thinking she could have chosen her birthday.
That's such a good question. Because I had absolutely zero intention on having any sort of religious overtone to the story. But I did think, I guess Christmas is just such a fun day for most kids, even kids that don't celebrate Christmas. I think it's like, you know, it's just
supposed
a
to be a
day.
Magic time
it's, a,
year.
It's a magical day,
yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
There's lots of sort of expectations around Christmas. But the difference between a Christmas and like a birthday is that a birthday is like a solo endeavor, right? I mean, and
that's true.
And Christmas is really so wrapped up, excuse the pun, in family. And I think that's why Christmas is difficult for a lot of people. And it's so entwined with your family of origin and whether you celebrated Christmas, didn't celebrate Christmas, and just like not even tradition and take away the whole religious piece, but just it is a day usually where the expectation is, even if you're Jewish or some other religion, you are going to be hanging out with your family probably because even if you don't celebrate Christmas, everything's closed, you know.
And the stories in Bounce, you know, all these major happenings are happening around Christmas because it's Christmas, too. Special situations.
Yeah.
Now Franny experiences, you know, a lot of different adventures like horseback riding, sailing. They seemed realistic to me because I've done all those things. Have you experienced all those things, or was this out of your imagination? How'd you know these adventures would feel this way, like riding a horse?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I did when I thought about the bounces for Franny was, like, I thought about what does she need to gain from each bounce in order to sort of move her emotionally forward. And so the first bounce, without giving it too much away, but the first bounce is all about safety and feeling secure and safe in her mind and in her body, feeling sort of soothed and safe. And once she has that, which I think personally is one of the most basic needs for humans, is that feeling of safety. And once she has that, as the story progresses, she gains like a voice in the next bounce, and she gains sort of a feeling of being able to navigate the world in her body, which is kind of funny because she's not even in her body. She gains
it's
confidence.
It's interesting the way you write that, too, because it's perfectly reasonable. I was thinking, how is she going to navigate this?
How is she going to do this?
How is she going to bounce back without disrupting the whole
world? Sure. And so to answer your question about adventures, it's just I ended up interviewing a lot of people that had real-world experience, and that's kind of a fun part I like about writing, is if you're interested in something, they're, you know, usually just a phone call away and a question away. So I probably drove some friends crazy with, you know, okay, wait, what's it like when you're on the horse? And what's it like when the horse moves? And yeah, that's it.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Megan Scholl. We're talking about her new book called Bounce, a funny and imaginative story about a 12-year-old girl whose life changes totally around the Christmas holidays. You studied educational psychology, so do you want most of your books to have a message or some kind of healing process going on? Because it seems like this one certainly does.
Yeah, I for sure do. I can say straight up. I got my doctorate quite a while ago, but my work is actually really related, and I can't say it was all a purposeful
journey
in terms of like knowing that's what I was going to do when I was in graduate school. But my work at Cornell was looking at ways to help arm girls to navigate adolescence, because what they found for girls, and really I think for boys now, it's fair to say I'm like an equal opportunity author. So now I think this applies to both boys and girls. But my work at that time really focused on girls, and they found that girls really are replete with confidence and you know, lots of light shining from their eyes. I think we all see girls when they're like 7, 8, 9 years old, there's nothing stopping them. And then suddenly as like 11, 12, 13, they start kind of silencing themselves and being kind of hyper aware of
judgment.
What's around them, what they should be like. And, you know, in some parts that's just growing up. But in other ways, I mean, it's not a big jump for any of your listeners or you, I'm sure, to think of our culture and what we tell girls, which is often contradictory. You know, it's like, be confident, but be ladylike.
Yes, and I was going to say,
be strong, but look good. And, you know, it's all these like super confusing contradictions. Boys have the exact same thing for girls in psychology. And I didn't think of this. It's called the perfect girl. Mm. And for boys, it's called the real man. Oh. And boys are just as.
We're still in it.
Yeah,
we're still in it in this culture. From, we wonder about bad behavior
for sure.
And unhappy lives. This is one of the reasons, if you ask me.
I am asking you, and I agree with you completely. And for boys, you know, it's like we tell boys from when they're little to like suck it up and be a man. And when they're really just little boys and they need soothing and care and comfort. And to be a successful man, you need to be able to emotionally be empathetic to other people. And so we're not doing girls or boys really a service by continuing that. And one of the antidotes to getting through that, and this is what my research found, and I'm not the only one that found this, but that it's authentic stories that help kids feel like less alone and more able to navigate those painful emotions that we all have. And so instead of feeling like, oh, I'm so weird and shutting down
Being afraid
lonely.
To even be out there.
Yeah, or for boys, a lot of times it comes out as aggression and anger because they're not able to express themselves. So instead of sort of taking that path, if they can have an adult who's safe and in their life, whether it be a parent, a caregiver, a coach, educator, who can connect with them, help them emotionally regulate, or really just say, hey, you're not alone. I'm right here with you. That is being authentic with kids and telling them your own stories.
Yeah, I've had so many guests
can help you.
Who talk about how kids absolutely have to have mentors.
Sure.
You know, and they have to have somebody to look up to.
It's powerful.
It really helps.
For sure.
Let's talk about your previous book, The Swap, which has been made into a Disney film. This is exciting.
Super exciting. Tell us
a little bit about it.
Yeah. Well, pretty much the best thing that ever happened to me, I think, professionally. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty darn exciting. My book, The Swap, which came out with HarperCollins in 2014, it's about a boy and girl who swap bodies on the first day of middle school. So sort of like Freaky Friday.
I was just going to say. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. When I first started writing it, I thought, oh my gosh, this is so funny. And I could not believe, Tish, that no one had done it before. I really started like looking, you know, around Googling, like, wow, no one has done like a boy-girl body swap.
That is really interesting. In this era of transgender politics and
it's not really about like that kind of sexuality.
Right.
It's really just a pure sort of how can a boy help a girl and a girl help a boy as opposed to like any uncertainty about gender. So it is like very timely in terms of that discussion, but really this is just about a girl who's having a super hard start to her seventh grade year and a boy who's also having like worst day ever. He's going through sort of his own painful emotions due to grief and loss, and you don't find out why till later in the book. And so his name's Jack Malloy. He's got 3 older brothers and a dad. And he's having kind of just a hard time showing up and being him without being able to express how he's feeling from this loss in his life. And then the little girl, Elle, is reeling kind of from something I think a lot of girls go through, which is her friends mature a little faster and leave her behind. And so she's starting seventh grade and still sort of wanting her sleepovers and her American Girl dolls and you know, the stuff that she grew up loving, and they're sort of already ahead of her talking about boys and
you know what?
Wanting
you have
more.
A theme going on here because you are teaching people how to rescue themselves in some ways, which I think is really interesting.
Thank you.
Well, that's what it feels like to me.
I'm probably trying to learn that myself, too.
How did Disney get a hold of this? Was this a push from your agent or what?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just I have some really great agents, and somehow through Hollywood magic,
I
got in the right hands, and things moved really, really fast. It's slightly, I've heard, pretty unusual for a book to become a movie in like pretty much a year and a half. So,
and are you happy with the result?
I love it. It's so adorable.
And it's available on DVD, I assume.
Yeah, it's on iTunes and Amazon. It aired already on October 7th. So yeah, it was thrilling to watch it, and I just was so happy because I knew it was going to be a bit different, but really they got all the right good feels.
I was going to say, some authors don't like the way things are portrayed or how, you know, the kind of people they choose to play the characters. You were happy, huh?
I loved it, Tish. I thought it was so well done. I called the producer right after, and she was really stoked that I liked it so much. But it's super adorable, and it has that sort of nurturing feel to it, and it was fun to watch on social media. I mean, debuted that weekend to 7.2 million viewers, which was a record for that quarter of kids television, most watched kids TV for this quarter.
And
just to see all the reactions on social media.
You know what? Kids and adults love this kind of magic thing, this swapping identities. And, you know, the Harry Potter, all those books.
It's true.
Where you find magic in everyday life.
You learn a little bit about being yourself by being someone else for a little while. And also, I think just in our culture, you know, things are a mess right now. There's really like a pernicious vibe in politics and in our own safety in our communities. A lot of people are feeling just wary, and I think children and parents are feeling that. And so I just felt awesome that they could curl up and snuggle up on their couches and get some popcorn and have a little break for 100 minutes exactly, and it really does deliver. It's super adorable.
That's so great! Congratulations. That's really a great story. Now you were born and raised in Ithaca, right? And you stayed here. It must be conducive to you as a writer. How do you navigate that? Are you becoming more famous? Is it becoming a distraction to live in a small town?
No, not at all. I love it here. I just find a real sense of peace, I guess, being here. I think it's just the physical beauty, probably the natural beauty of Ithaca is, you know, I feel like...
You feel safe here, probably.
Yeah,
like,
I feel
like
safe.
Like your characters, you found safety in this little storybook place.
Exactly. And why leave? You know, it's, I think the people are awesome, and the community is really lovely. And it's really fun to sort of grow up and stay here. It takes a little bit of work to stay in your hometown. And I don't mean it in a hardship way, but you have to be kind of aware that, like, you have to change because you're in the same place, you know. I live really close to my elementary school and my middle school, my high school, my college, actually all four.
That's amazing to me. I mean, I'm from Southern California. I am so far from my hometown.
You're on an adventure.
Mentally and physically.
Well, that's probably why I had to go on some bounces to get away.
Now, you do readings, obviously, and you meet some of the public who read your book. Well, what kind of reactions do you get from kids? Do you get fan letters from kids all the time?
I do. It's the best part, I think, of the job, for sure. I get these really adorable letters, and they say, you know, the first fan letter I ever got was from a little 12-year-old girl. My first books were American Girl books a long time ago.
The publisher.
And the letter said, the P.S. said, P.S., now I know I'm not so weird after all.
Oh,
that pretty much describes the whole deal for me is just helping kids feel that feeling and feel like they can do it and feel less alone. That's that's what I'm in it for.
Yeah. And did you ever get kids that actually ask you for your help and say, I want to come live with you, you seem like the kind of adult, you know?
Nobody has said that per se, but I do get just a lot of just incredibly moving letters from kids. Kids are so amazing. And I think if you, you know, they probably, if I'm blessed enough that they can relate to something in my books, it's so easy for me to write back and model that same behavior of saying, like, I see you, I hear you, you can do it. And so I take that as part of my job. It's like such a pleasure to be able to offer that kind of hope and encouragement. So I for sure always write back. And yeah, it's just really moving. I got a note this last year from a little gal who had read The Swap, and I could dig it out for you if you want to share it with your listeners. But it's something like, you helped me survive my seventh grade year, and she described pretty horrific sort of scene of being bullied, and she said, this book saved my life. And that was just, it's just the kind of thing that keeps you going, because not all parts of writing are super fun, you know. some of it is less fun than others, and so yeah, letters like that, they're so awesome.
Oh, that's so great. It's so great for kids to have somebody like you in the culture right now. Now, you're obviously a skilled creative writer, as far as I can tell at this point. Are you ever going to write a novel for adults? Do you have that in you?
Whoa. I don't think I do.
Really?
I think I'm still trying to grow up myself, so I don't know if that would be, like, the best novel.
Are you working on any more kids' books?
I am, yep. I already started a new book, and, yeah, it's a good space for me to be working, I think. So I like to just keep at it and keep your head down and keep going, and hopefully we'll have some more movies and some more books to share.
Well, you definitely have a great voice for kids, so I will encourage you to stay away from adult books right now.
Okay, no worries. I think I'm staying far away.
We're almost out of time. You want to give some contact information in case people want to get in touch?
Sure. My website is Hey Megan, like if you're waving, hey. Hey Megan, Megan, and has all my social media. I'm not like super active, but I'm on Twitter, Instagram. Y'all can find me and say hey anytime. I do try and answer all my email, that kind of thing. But most of all, I just such a joy to be here. Since I grew up in the area, you're kind of a legend. And so it's just a joy, just straight up legend. So it's just a joy to be here with you. And to, I hope for people listening, if they have like a 10 to 14 year old, and or if they want to feel better, but that's the age group that I write for is around 10 to 14. And so if they know a child who needs some support, or just wants, if they want to just read a book with their kid or their neighbor or their grandchild together, I would encourage to go out and get Bounce or The Swap and maybe even read it together and talk about it.
That's great. Well, Megan Scholl, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a great pleasure. Again, Megan's new book is called Bounce. Go out and get it. It's a wonderful read, and I'm sure the kids will all enjoy it too.
Thank you, Dish.
Thank you, Megan.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.